This week's episode is brought to you by Innerve.
Oh God, one more podcast?
Hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of Desi Standard Time.
Hey.
I'm one of your hosts, Maz Khan. I've got Maz Ali. How you doing over there, buddy?
I'm good, man. What's Gucci, man? How you doing, buddy?
Feeling some type of way, I see.
I'm feeling some type of way, man. Yeah, it's getting late at night, but, you know, we got to do it. You know what I mean?
That's how we roll. Yeah. Late night recording sessions.
Exactly. I don't know where this persona is coming from, but it's just feeling real artistic tonight. You know what I mean?
Roll with it.
Oh, yeah. I'm rolling with it.
Yeah. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of artists, that's going to be a great segue into today's topic.
Boy, I got you.
We've definitely gotten some requests about this topic. It's something that we love to talk about and really is the true foundation of our friendship is Bollywood music.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? So we're going to be talking about it through the ages and kind of taking an examination into just how music in Bollywood has changed, sometimes transcended the movies or the location that it was first brought up. Sometimes how it is better than the movies that it's in.
Right.
And I guess I should preface this whole thing with just realize, listenership, that most music in India comes from Bollywood movies.
Yes.
Each movie has a soundtrack. And when you go to the store, you're not like buying, you know, so-and-so's like new album.
Hell no.
It's starting to become a thing.
Yeah.
What you're really doing is buying this movie's full soundtrack.
Yep.
And that's how you get your music.
At least for us, right? Like, I think our parents, they were the ones understanding that there was a difference between playback singers and the movie soundtrack and the actors that portrayed them, right?
Right.
Yeah. But, Bollywood is literally everything when it comes to entertainment. We have the music industry out here. We have TV. We have film. We have fashion. Oh, no. Bollywood is all that wrapped into one beautiful, glorious entity.
It's the Walmart. It's the Walmart of entertainment. Like, you can get whatever you need
mm-hmm.
in one place, Bollywood. And not to say that, you know, India isn't evolving. The Bollywood industry is certainly starting to, you know, get its roots in other places.
Right.
We're starting to see artists go off on their own. We're starting to see a fashion industry come up out of, you know, Bollywood stars. But again, it all ties back into Bollywood movies, the stars who push them, and the culture that it creates. With that being said, let's dive into where this all kind of started. And, you know, I've got some fond memories. I'm sure you do too, Mazi. The really early days of Bollywood music, right? When Bollywood was first starting to get off and, you know, Dilip Kumar and those guys were making movies.
Right.
We saw, like, really, there was just a domination of the market by like four or five, six singers total. And what's crazy to me is that those guys have transcended time. You can still hear people learning and singing those songs, right?
Yeah, so I mean, there's so many remixes now that occur. That's what I feel like. You know, like Hollywood has this like tendency where it's taking a lot of old scripts and old movies and just doing remakes, right? Reboots.
Right.
And not even just a reboot of like the old movie itself, but then continuing on the franchise and such. So there's a lot. I mean, anytime we go to our boy Faraz's house, you know, this guy always has, you know, Desi songs playing on in the background. They're club bangers. There's hot women left and right. But then you listen to the song and the chorus is like, oh, this song actually is, they just remixed it. It's actually from the 80s, the 70s, and holy crap. And this is what they're doing now? So there's a huge, huge wave. I feel like especially this year and maybe in the last recent years, more so than like before, I think there's really a trend of bringing that back. And I think it's a good thing. I mean, say what you want. Say that, oh, they're ruining the old songs and making it all modern, as our mommy and daddy like to say. But it's still, those are just timeless jams. And I think alluding to what you were saying before, you know, some of those singers, as a result now, timeless. They transcend time.
Right. And okay, so I think that we were maybe like the middle generation. I, you know, grew up on these songs. I can still remember this. My dad, you know, our first car was obviously a Honda Accord. What other option is there besides that or a Toyota Camry?
Shocking.
And Of course, we went for the value package, which meant you only had a tape recorder for entertainment.
Yes.
And, of course, he went and bought, like, the Mohammed Rafi cassette or, like, the Best of Lata cassette. And that's all we listened to growing up. Oof. So, unbeknownst to me, I just thought that's what music sounded like in, you know, the late 90s, early
2000s. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, these are songs from, like, the 60s and 70s. And that's what I thought indie music was all about. That's what I thought, you know, was kind of Bollywood.
Right.
And now, like you said, we're seeing these songs that had like these beautiful lyrics, amazing messages, timeless kind of just like amazing messages. And now they're being remixed into like these pretty much sex symbol item number songs. Yeah. And it's like, on one hand, you're right. On one hand, it's pretty cool. I'm not gonna lie. Some of these are bumping. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like you see some of these and you're like, you just can't help but dance along because it, yeah. What was it? Lela Me Lela was one that was like recent, man. Right?
Yeah.
And I've heard it and I was like, I know exactly which song this is originally.
Lela.
And then,
yeah, man.
The new one kind of bumps.
Yeah. So. It almost feels sacrilegious. Like I shouldn't like this. And granted, a lot of them, right. I do. I'm sitting there. I'm like, no, they just kind of ruined it. Like, even though this is, like, not really, like, an older song, but they did Tu Cheeseburia Must from Mohra 94. We gave a nice synopsis of that song in the hip-thrusting episode. Yeah. So that song, I mean, they remixed that, and I thought the remix was straight trash. I did not like that because then it turns into Meh Cheeseburia Who Must. It's like, girl, just chill, okay? Just relax, you know?
I hate when they remix them and just add like an EDM kind of track to it.
Yeah.
I feel like that kind of ruins it. But when they actually remix it or reboot it into a legitimate song with kind of like a bump and dance beat, I'm with it.
Yeah.
But there's definitely purists out there who don't see it. But look, I think we're hearkening back to an era where not many people will even know these songs. And what I'd love to see is, I don't know how many of you guys have seen the medley in Mucho Dos de Karaoke.
Yeah.
But it's basically like a 13-minute compilation of really old songs, one after the other, kind of like a Antakshari style.
Right.
And it's phenomenal. It's one of my favorite videos to watch, one of my favorite things to kind of, you know, sing along with. It's great. And there, they didn't remix the songs. They just redid it. Back for a newer generation. And being maybe one of the weird people who only listened to those songs growing up, I'd love to see people from the newer generations be exposed to them as well. I'll also mention this movie, Dil Vil Pyar Vyar, which is a movie that came out sometime in the early 2000s. But
right.
All the songs were old songs, like Tere Bina Zindagi Se Koi Shikwato Nahi or Tum Bin Jaun Kahan. Like, all old songs, Mere Samne Wali Khidki Mein Ek, Mere Samne
Wali Khidki Mein,
like, all old songs just sung by, you know, like, singers that are more current, updated instrumentals. It's fantastic.
Right.
Fantastic.
There is another medley. So the medley you're talking about is from Mucho Dos de Karaoke with Hrithik, Kareena, and Rani. And then there's a Salman Khan movie. my boy, called Kahi Pyar Na Ho Jaye. That movie. So in that, there's a scene where Salman like just broke up with Ravina. He's like, he's drunk and he's like heartbroken. So his entire khandan, they do a medley in that as well. So in that, he kind of gives ode to himself. He goes, tarapa, tarapa, is still si art, right? He does that song. There's also a Mungara, 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 Medin, right? There's that, which that song has also been remixed to a slapper, I have to say. I think the remix to that is fantastic.
I was
going to
say, the Mungara remix is not bad. Not bad.
It's not bad at all. I just didn't think that one day I'd be listening to the song with like a white girl like in Daisy Dukes just twerking her mind out. And it's just like, oh, that's a healthy combo. Why not?
Yep. And okay, so music back then also, so I think that's a good point, is like music back then, I guess the best word is wholesome, right?
Yeah.
It was very lyrically kind of, there was a big emphasis on the lyrics. It was very kind of toned down. There wasn't a lot of dance music per se. It was a lot of love ballads. They were ballads, I think is the best way to describe these songs.
Yeah.
And they were all sung by like Mukesh, Mohammed Rafi, Lata Mangeshkar, Asha Bhosle, the undying sisterhood of Asha Bhosle and Lata Mangeshkar.
Yeah.
I know My boy Jags, Jagjeet Singh, made an appearance back then.
Oh, Jagjeet. Hey, Jagjeet. yeah, man.
And then, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, I feel like we know how to do love songs, man. There is, I challenge other cultures out there, but we know how to speak and talk about love. Shakespeare ain't got shit on us. Hell no. He's just sitting there with the skull in his hand talking to it. Get your ass out of here, boy. But yeah, I mean, we can go toe-to-toe with any culture. I think we're just... It's something else. And you were mentioning the coveted tape cassette in your guys' Honda Accord and the car that you grew up in. I remember, we had plenty of those too. We had tape cassettes as well as CD players. And I remember there was one epic trip where I drove from LA to the Bay. It was me, my mom, my dad, and my aunt, my Munni auntie. And we were driving up, and I was like 14, 15, weird age, weird, you know, awkward stage of my life, and just listening and hanging out with my parents and my aunt, blasting Ruffy, blasting Mukesh, like all these CDs. Man, such good songs. But you really, like, it's just, there's nothing like it. You know, like, you just can't,
no one else has
you
heard
can't
that
compare.
Song ever, except
no.
for us.
Yeah. I don't want to butcher
There's so many.
It, but
so,
There's
so
many,
many,
man.
There's so many.
Yeah.
And what's always funny to me is, like, my dad, you know, he loved these songs, but there's only 10 songs you can fit on a tape. So you can, like, the best of Mohammed Rafi cannot only be 10 songs. I'm sure there's 100, but no, my dad insisted on the same one tape. I don't know if it's, like, because he's cheap, or I don't know if he just loved those 10 songs that much. It could be a combination of both. That's just kind of how Pakistani dads work.
Yeah.
But, man, that one tape is, like, ingrained in my mind. It's like the Friends episode where Chandler is, like, listening to tapes while he falls asleep.
Right.
That, like, those tapes are – that. Those are my tapes. Those are the tapes that, like, are ingrained in my mind.
Right.
No matter what I do.
Your dad's like, I have the 10 Rafi songs. That is all I don't need anymore. Shut up.
Yeah. You don't need anything. You just need Mohammed Rafi.
Speaking of Rafi, what's the top Rafi song for you?
Ooh, man, that's tough.
This is tough to, like, address all our favorite songs, but yeah, I challenge you.
Let's come back to that. I think that there's definitely going to be let me think about it as we move forward. But there's gonna be a ton that I'm gonna have to think about before I come up with a good answer.
Okay, well, I'll give you mine. I mean, I have to say for Rafi, my favorite is his Qawwali from Amok Bar Anthony, Parda Hai Parda. That is a jam in the Ali household. That is something that my niece Rumi, who's barely a year old, has been ingrained. We've forced her to watch it day by day in the entire. Yeah. Only year of her existence, and my God, she's already got the mannerisms down. She's gonna be doing it, you know. but that's mine. I gotta say that's mine.
I think okay. So now that since you know I've had a little chance to think about it, I would maybe say Baharon Pool Barsao Mera Mehboob. Like super slow.
Yeah.
Probably if I'm like dying and I know that I have like 4 minutes left to live. I would say, hey, play this song. That's the one I want to go out to.
Oh,
but
man.
That's probably because, again, that's one of the songs ingrained in my head.
That song plays, and I literally, shout out Chris Traeger from Parks and Rec, I literally become a flower, and I feel the petals falling off of me. That's what I feel like when I hear that song.
That's the personification of that song.
That
sure.
It really is. Yeah, man. Ooh, that's a solid choice. I gotta give it to you for that one.
Solid. Okay, so luckily, songs were not always that depressing, right?
Nope.
We moved on to the 90s, and I think the 90s kind of shift, like everyone just shifted, right? We went from these Amitabh movies where everything is just super epic and like crazy. We started entering the phase of Salman and Amir, and definitely Shah Rukh was starting to come in.
Right.
And we saw like these kind of goofballs, and we needed songs to match their goofiness. So we saw a happier song. Definitely a little bit more like music oriented. The lyrics stopped being as cool, like as poetic. We'll say there are still great lyrics, obviously. But
excuse you, but Rook 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 Are Baba Rook is pure poetry, my friend.
Yeah, Jati Hume, Jenny Hank, like, you know, like those were the songs that were coming in, and you could tell that they were more kind of inspiring dance, right? Like we were just like, okay, go out, have fun. That's what the speed of the 90s was.
Right.
And we started seeing, you know, it still was, I will say that it was still five or six people who dominated, right? And let's see how many people remember these names, but Udit Narayan, Kumar Sanu, Alka Yagnik, Hari Haran, Abhijit, KK, you know, and then towards the end, we started seeing like Sonu Nigam, Sunidhi Chauhan. Mm-hmm. Like these are pretty much, I've just named all the playback singers in Bollywood from like 1990 to 2010.
2010, yeah.
Yeah, for 20 years, they couldn't find anyone else in India, apparently.
Right. It's funny because like Bollywood is the only place where these people are celebrated, but not directly. And why?
Right.
It's because we have lip syncing, and like for example, these people like Udit Narayan, I still to this day I forget what he looks like. I think I might have seen one picture of him, and he looked like the culmination of like three random uncles that I hate from my community. Like he was just like you bring them all together, put them in a petri dish, and there you go. There's Udit Narayan, right? And you don't remember, and like I remember like even for some of these like Udit Narayan, there was even. Lata, like for a while I had no, because Lata was always doing playbacks for the young bucks, right? The young heart ladies. And for a while I was like, what does this woman look like? Oh, I didn't realize. And then I just see her on a tape cassette, and I'm like, her? Like that's her? Are you serious? Yeah. And you have this like shock, and you have no idea, because they should be the ones that are in concert. They should be the ones that are out there performing. But no, who performs? Shah Rukh Khan, Salman Khan,
right,
Kareena.
Right.
The people that lip sync to them is somehow their song now. Like,
right.
What is life?
You see these guys. Okay, you're 100% right. I just Googled Udit Narayan. I had never seen this guy's face before in my life.
Yes.
Wow. He really is. It's like hilarious. Three uncles ran as fast as they could into each other, and this guy was created. And you know what else is funny? From the 90s, like, almost all the singers just had, like, really terrible mustaches. Yeah. Like, Udit Narayan.
I was going to say, I think it's an entrail mustache.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Kumar Sanu definitely had a mustache.
Oh, his was
kicking. Who else did we talk about just now? Like, Hari Haran, mustache. Like, they all had mustaches. I don't understand. What was this trend?
I don't know, man. I think if they, when you're a certain, like, Guruji or Masterji of music, maybe you had that. I don't know. I mean, I'm just talking completely out of my behind, but it could be.
Maybe if you had a mustache,
you know who else did? Kishore Kumar had a nice, weird... Kishore Kumar was really thrown off by it because he did pretty much all Amitabh songs. And so, you know, naturally, when you hear these people singing, you're like, oh, I can really imagine Shah Rukh having Udit Narayan's voice, or I can really envision Amitabh having this voice. And so when you're like, oh, I wonder what they look like, you immediately start envisioning a Shah Rukh lookalike or an Amitabh lookalike. I saw Kishore Kumar and I was like, what is that? This guy has a part down the middle, and he was also
pedophile.
Oh my god. I mean, honestly though, he was also a comedian, right? Like he did Porosa, and he was hilarious. He's a hilarious actor, so he had a lot of these like comedic photo shoots, and he was a goofball. And I was like, that's
right.
Kishore Kumar. Wow.
Right. No, but you're so right. I think it's so funny that like these guys really are the voices that we associate with so many actors and actresses. The Lata thing is hilarious to me because my dad used to like always be like, yo, she's singing for like Madhuri or Juhi Chawla. Like she's like 90 years old and she's still singing for these 20-year-olds and she sounds like a 20-year-old.
Yeah.
And in like I'm sitting in the car listening to these songs, I'm like, nah, she sounds like a 90-year-old. She just sounds really good for a 90-year-old.
Yeah.
And my dad was like, no, there's no way. Lata is goddess, okay? She can do anything. I was like,
she's an untouchable brother. Yeah.
And untouchable.
Then we
it means something else in India, my friend.
Okay. All right, man. But yeah, that's that always threw me off, man.
Yeah.
It was, yeah, but I mean.
I think it all culminated. I think the 90s really culminated with Sonu Nigam, right? He came on superstar. This guy could, first of all.
Superstar.
I'm not sure if you've seen this, but there's like impression videos that he does like of other singers. Like he does a killer Kumar Sanu. He's got the nasally voice like perfect. He can do anybody. Hmm. He can do Kishore Kumar. He can do Dev Anand impressions. Like the guy can do crazy impressions. But beyond that, super talented, was the voice that everyone wanted, you know, as their playback singer.
Yeah.
Kind of in the late thousands, and then into like, you know, or sorry, the early thousands.
Early thousands.
2000s. Yeah. And, you know, then he was like, oh, you know what? I look pretty good too. let me be an actor. And he tried to like transcend his singing ability and trying to like kind of convert that into an acting career. And the whole industry basically just took one look at him and said, Dafa Hoja, because he really just was not all that. Like, he was okay, but really not anything special. And it it just didn't work.
Yeah, go back behind the camera, or go back behind the camera, the mic. Yeah, don't know your role and shut your mouth. They had to the rock him. Yeah, poor guy. Poor guy. Oh, Lord. Anyways, there is still plenty to talk about.
So much.
But first, we are going to take a short break and leave you with this week's South Asian Spotlight, where we showcase a South Asian-owned business or startup in the United States of America. Catch you all shortly.
All right. Be back.
This week's South Asian Spotlight is with Akshita Iyer, co-founder of Innerv.
You know, the beauty of Desi households really lies in the kitchen. The fresh smell of ginger, masalas, and cilantro all combined together to make nihari, biryani, bhindi, you name it. But kitchens can also be a place where things go wrong. And today, we have Akshita Iyer in the studio to tell us about a time where things, unfortunately, went very wrong. Akshita, tell us more.
Hey, Maz. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
And you're absolutely right. In my case, a few years ago, my mom was cooking in my house, got distracted, as we all tend to do, and accidentally started a kitchen fire after she left the stove on.
Oh my God. That's actually happened in my own house as well. Oh, so sorry to hear that. But leaving the stove on, I mean, it's such a common mistake made not only in Desi households, but all households.
Yeah. In fact, unattended cooking is the number one cause of house fires, leads to over $1 billion in damage every single year, and over 500 deaths.
Holy wow. That's terrible. But you've built a solution, correct? So tell us more about it.
Yeah, our team at Innerv has built an intelligent device that turns any gas or electric stove into a smart one in just minutes.
Wow.
All you have to do is replace your existing stove knobs with our smart knobs, which will notice if you've left the stove on for too long and automatically shut it off for you. It's also linked to a smartphone app that allows you to check if the stove is on from anywhere, turn it off remotely, and even set cooking timers or recipes.
Wow. Okay, where can I buy one, please?
Yeah, you can reserve yours now at innerv.com.
Innerv.com. Wait, that sounds familiar. Were you guys on Shark Tank?
That was us. It was a great experience.
Wow, amazing. Okay. I mean, I think I know my go-to birthday gift for all my Cooking Family members. I want to prevent these fires for all their upcoming birthdays. Yeah. But you can all join me in reserving your device by going to innerv.com. That's innerv.com. Check it out.
Hello. Zarasa, welcome back. Maz Ali, Maz Khan, Desi Standard Time.
We out here, man.
We were talking about music, and the last thing we were discussing before our break was 90s music. And Maz Khan, I think the greatest part of the 90s, I think you would agree, what did that bring us? It brought us auntie parties. It brought us music parties. Yes. I think that's where, I mean, it's one thing to be listening to songs over and over and over again and banging your head, especially as a kid. I mean, like, let's be real. You're like, okay, I just want to listen to Tupac now. I mean, that's what I was listening to when I was 7. Thank you, Brother Shui Pai. But, you know, I think it's another experience when you experience it live. And man, we used to have a lot of music parties. I'm sure you did too. Within our family, you know, dinner's done, everybody go home, all right, bring out the harmonium, and then we would improvise. I mean, my dad would take the back of, like, an aluminum, like, plate and take a spoon and just jam out on it, and he was the drums, you know? And
you don't need a lot to have a good time, for sure.
You really don't, man. And it's kind of funny, man, like, every auntie and uncle, most of them can sing, and they just, that was part of their upbringing. I mean, they just take it so much more seriously, right?
For sure.
Then of course, you had like the one auntie that would come and
she would just have to sing for us because, like, everybody felt bad if they didn't, but she was actually terrible.
Yeah. She thought she was great. She thought she was like, oh, I can't wait to sing again. Yeah. And then she started singing.
Yeah, exactly.
And you want, like, your ears to stop bleeding.
Yeah. Okay, aap look sub chat again, mega will be. It's like, no, but ha, take a Shagufta, go ahead.
Hey, and hey, there's nothing wrong with Shagufta. That happens to be my aunt's name. Watch it.
Oh, I got plenty of Shagufta. Hey man, Shagufta needs to get it in, you know? She needs to do her time. And the funny part is that they would be the ones that would be singing the longest. Oh my God, we had one. And then they would sing like a song that like, ha, gana gongi. And everyone in the back of their head is like, ooh, your vocal capacity cannot handle that. But sure, let's just hear it. And then we would just start making fun of them and be like, ha, be a chikni chameli ga, shilike jivani ga, chal 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 ga lo ga lo ga lo. You want me to sing chikni chameli? And it's like, yeah. It was just in a ish, so yeah. It's a whole thing. I had a good moment. I think the first time I was ever put on the spot to sing, I had to sing Mukabla. That was a funny transition. I could make my voice like Picasso key painting mara, that was my first.
For some reason people were always like, oh good, he didn't say like that. And I'm like, it's not like a skill. It's something I want to get rid of. I'm not sure Aaron was doing when he thought of that. Which...
He sounds like a South Indian Kermit, like mukabla, mukabla, olayla, olayla.
That's so accurate. Wow. I'm going to need you to do that at all times from now on.
Well, sure thing, Maskine. Absolutely, Barney. Yeah, well.
That's incredible.
Oh, my God.
Which brings me, okay, so the other thing that the 90s brought us, besides auntie parties, was A.R. Rahman. A.R. Rahman absolutely took over an industry, really showed the world how it can be done, and got worldwide renown for it, right? He's won an Oscar. He's won pretty much every award in India that you can win for music many times over. And, you know, I think it started with, like, the Bombay, Roja. Like, he definitely did Tamil movies to start off, but no one really, like, none of us really watched it. I'm sure some of our listeners do watch Tamil movies. Indian movies in general, right? There might be Kannada movies or Telugu movies that he's written
music for. I need to start watching this, because those are epic too, man. I mean,
they're the originals, yeah. What's crazy is, like, a lot of those movies then get remade. Here's what's so shocking to me about A.R. Rahman and why I have so much respect for him. I mean, beyond the fact that he's an incredible musician, like, literally always pushing the envelope. I remember when I first heard all the songs in Satya, I was like, wow. These songs are so, like, Oh Humdum Sonyore is, like, straight up, like, electronic kind of music in a time where no one, like, listened to that kind of music. And I remember as a kid kind of, like, first listening to it and being like, this is whatever. But over time, it just grew on me so much. And now it's, like, one of my favorite songs, right? The thing that's crazy about A.R. Rahman is he wrote the music often for movies that were in Tamil, Telugu, etc. And then, you know, as those movies transitioned up to Bollywood and were redone in Hindi, he wrote those songs again, same music, same, you know, tune, same meaning, different words. And he was able to make it work over and over and over again. I mean, you saw this.
That's crazy.
It's crazy. Like, you saw it in Bombay. Bombay was originally not a Bollywood movie. It was a South Indian movie that then came to Bombay. But, like, Kaina Hikya and the Hamma song, those were all songs in other languages that he then translated over to Bollywood, which is crazy.
Damn, crazy. That is crazy, dude. I never thought of that. Honestly, I didn't know that. That is because it's one thing. Because, you know, like, they talk about how, like, for example, if you tell someone a joke in Urdu, and then if you translate it, like, in English, it's just not the same, right? And yeah, granted, like, English is far different from Urdu as opposed to, like, you know, all the languages within India and Pakistan. But still, that is, I mean, you're still kind of playing with that a little bit, and it's difficult. So, wow, that's, I mean, he's GOAT, you know, I think that's definitely to say.
I think it's undisputed greatest of all time as far as music 100%. Composition in India. There's no doubt.
Right.
And you could honestly argue there's very few musicians in the 20th century who have had an impact like he has on music globally. Anywhere, like he really is that influential. It's crazy.
I mean, Thal, that soundtrack was Thal.
There's so many. I can go on and on and on with his discography.
Dilse, like, oh my god.
Dilse, oh my god. Yeah. Like, there's so many. You know, there's so Slumdog Millionaire is probably the one that everyone knows him for in America. But
right,
look, if you, even if you like Jannati Janana, Guru, Jodha Akbar,
yeah,
Bombay Dreams, Swades, yeah. Kisna, Gajni, Rang De Basanti, on and on and on. We could go on all night.
Yeah. Like it's gone to a point where he's so good. Like, music, like, somehow you've accomplished music.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you've accomplished music in general.
Right.
Like, it's easy for you now. Like, he needs a new challenge.
Right.
Like,
for real.
Like, he did it. Like, he did it. Like, okay, this is easy. Now, what's next? Dance? Got it. Okay. Ending starvation? Cool. Yeah, let's do it. You know, like,
yeah.
It's easy for him, man. I mean, to translate across those different, you know, Bollywood, you know, South India, Hollywood. I mean, that's... Tamil, right. Yeah, Tollywood, right. Tollywood, that's crazy, man. That's unheard of, yeah.
And look, there's a lot of other great composers that we're kind of like not specifically acknowledging, like Vishal Shekhar, Jatin Lalit. My personal favorite, Shankar Ehsan Loy, I love those guys. I think that they have been very edgy for a few years, for several years. Shankar Mahadevan is one of my favorite musicians.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite songs to illustrate this, for those who haven't seen it, Kuch Na Kaho is the name of the movie. It's an Abhishek and Aishwarya movie.
Yes.
And the song is Baat Meri Sunye To Zara. And in there, it's just a back and forth between Aishwarya and Abhishek, right? Well, obviously, they're not the singers. Look how dumb I am. But we just made that point earlier. But it's a back and forth between them. Shankar Mahadevan's actually the voice of Abhishek.
Right.
And there's a part where he basically just like sings and sings and sings for such a long time without taking any breath that is absurd. And I've tried it multiple times, never succeeded. It's crazy what his lung capacity is.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
I'm a nerd.
No, the only part that I can recall, and again, I mentioned this before, was part of that, but that's the only part I could do. Kafa ho ke chehra chupa le magar yaad rakh usne wale jo hai aage teri jawani mera pyaar hai sard pani. That's all I can do. But
impressive.
That's a complete plug in for myself. Wow, I'm an egomaniac. Forgive me. But you did mention another guy that really dominated the early 2000s was Adnan Sami.
Ooh.
Yeah. Man.
I didn't mention him.
No, you mentioned
him. But I'm glad you brought him
up. Yeah, you mentioned Satya, and he was the entire Satya soundtrack. Halki, halki, kalarata dushamunamagiri. Right?
Ayori Ori.
Ooh, yeah. That is a jam, man.
That's a great song. Yeah.
And what's crazy is that guy, I mean, he was a big boy. He was a big boy. And then he lost so much weight, and it changed how he sounds. But I mean, he still sounded good, but. You know, there's a little something, right? I mean, he had a little extra sum, right?
Yeah. His voice we will definitely cover Adnan Sami and other singers who really got their start in Pakistan.
Yeah.
And then slowly shifted over to Bollywood, where obviously there's more money to be made. There's much more kind of just there's a lot more going on, right?
Right.
But he definitely started this trend. And I think that's a great segue into the last portion of Bollywood music, and that's today's artists and the kind of music that we're seeing today, right? So we've covered the old ballads, which really were just love ballads and people kind of just crooning each other. Then we moved on to the 90s, which were all about kind of just, they were silly, they were goofy, they were fun. They were definitely less lyrically inclined, but that doesn't mean that they weren't really great lyrical poetic songs written at that time.
Yeah, the 90s, as far as Bollywood music is concerned, it was definitely like its teenage years, right? It was just trying to find itself. Right. It's like, who the hell am I? And then, you know, once we get into the 2000s and the 2010s, and as you're about to get into it, it will be another great segue, is that it starts to remember its roots. It starts to remember in your 20s and 30s, you're like, oh, okay, I'm understanding, I'm getting a feel of who I am today, and then let me understand who I was or where I come from. And that's kind of the shift that we started seeing in with Adnan Sami. Yeah, I mean, the modern era, right? What are we seeing, Maz? What are we seeing nowadays?
Right, and I think that we touched upon it a little bit earlier with the whole idea of remakes. And if you actually remember, there was a kind of time, I want to say in the early 2000s, where they were remixing songs, but it was all Chichora remixes, right? It was all just for the. It was the whole when Bollywood was first discovering like progressive kind of videos and, you know, girls in skimpier clothing, and they realized that they could sell that, and so the songs kind of mirrored that, right? We saw like these songs that really just weren't good at all, and it was just an excuse to remake an old song with a hotter music video.
Yeah.
I think that was like the kind of dark era of remixing. And now we're hitting like the golden era of it, where the songs that are being remade now are actually like pretty decent. Yeah. They're not bad. And people want to hear them. And they're done like with thought. Like, it's not just, let's just take the song and remix it. Granted, we get the, you know, the obligatory Bacha or Guru Randhawa verse in there that we don't really need. Mm-hmm. But it's not bad. It's really not bad. And along with that, I think, you know, movies have really started to realize, okay, music will sell the movie. And so they've put a big focus on making the songs in the movie better. Would you agree?
Absolutely, man. I mean, they're... I mean, it's a trend. I think people like to yearn for and want to know more so of. I mean, there's a side, right? There's people that like to listen to these remixes that are, you know, to some of them are trashy, some of them are not. But at the same time, like, it gives Ode and, you know, I kind of wanted to bring up like for example, like Coke Studio kind of started in Pakistan with like bringing these old songs back. And so I feel like there's that trend now where it's like, let's appreciate the old for what it is and just redo it. So there's a lot of, you know, like Qawwalis, like that have been brought back up in these newer generations. I do want to give a shout to, I feel like kind of like the transition Qawwali that really took place in the 2000s was from Mehuna. Tumse milke dil ka hai jo haal ke, right? That was,
yeah. One of my favorite songs, actually, to watch. Absolutely. I've watched the video for that song like so many times.
It's great.
Yeah. There's so many Qawwalis that show up in Bollywood movies. Yeah. I mean, that one in Veer Zara, there's that.
Aaya tere dil par dar par
deewana. Yeah. So, like, the Qawwali scene has definitely exploded in the last 15 or so years. And we've seen singers that are, you know, that's what they're known for, right, coming into the Bollywood space.
Yep, yep.
And now they're not even doing just Qawwali. They're doing just songs, right? Yeah. Like Shafqat Amanat Ali is one of my favorite singers. And I'm trying to think of a song that is probably very recognizable. But, you know, I know him from his he was in a band in Pakistan called Fusion.
Yeah.
And then since then, now he's come over to Bollywood and he's done a lot of songs in Bollywood. I'm trying to think of them right now. I'll think of them later. But him, and then obviously we have everyone's favorite, which is Rahat Fateh Ali Khan.
Right.
And he is truly like the OG, like amazing singer. He's the nephew of the late Nusrat Fateh Ali Khan. He's classically trained. I've actually seen him live in Los Angeles.
Word.
Phenomenal, wow. Phenomenal Qawwali. I mean, one of the best shows I've ever seen in my life. And his singing in any song, it doesn't matter what type of song it is, it always just takes you to a different place.
Really does, man. I mean, it's in his bloodline. And yeah, he did... What were some songs that he did? Yeah, I mean, he did. He has that one from Jhum Barabar Jhum, that song with the B Shake and
Preeti. Bolna Halke Halke.
Ooh, I got a good story from that. Halke, so halke. That's my mom's, one of her favorite songs. Anytime I put that song on, I mean, there's this huge smile that just comes on her, plastered on her face. And we were getting ready for my brother's wedding, and we were like setting up the hall, and you know, the tension was very high tension, right? Everyone was really stressed. We were setting up the hall, and my mom was like, ye karna, whatever. And then I just told the DJ, I was like, can you put this song on for her? And it put on, and immediately she's like, hi, gana, get na mujhe acha lagta. I was like, yeah, I know. All right, let's do the faces now and go on with it. But yeah, there is that
instantaneous
song.
Mood calmer.
Yeah, nice. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, Shafqat Amanat Ali had, I think the song that I'm thinking of that everyone will probably know is Mitwa from Kabhi Alvida Na Kehna.
Oh, right? Yes.
That's Shafqat Amanat Ali's. I think for Rahat, there's tons, but I think like Metenu Samjaki, Bahara from I Hate Love Stories. Yeah. I mean, there's a bunch that he's done. So,
oh,
both these guys.
Don't forget Teri Meri Meri Teri Prem Kahani. So can I say, now when Rahat sings, he is obviously singing with his heart, his soul, generations past. He's he's changing the gravitational fields of the Earth when he sings. Like, his voice is that powerful. Right. And you can see right. it visually, too, when you're watching. Like, oh, my God, he's really going all out. Salman Khan, when he is
lip... It's always going to come back to Salman somehow.
When he is lip-singing that, his lips are barely moving. It's like, what are you doing? It's if you go back and watch that song, like, on YouTube, go to the YouTube and watch that song, because he's just not doing it justice. It's a great song alone in itself, but it's like, Salu, at least try to Amazing. Show you're giving some sort of effort with this song. Yeah, I just, yeah. Amazing. Incredible.
No, I mean, I it's hard to imagine any actor doing justice to Rahat, but
yeah, man.
Especially not my boy, Salman. But
Salu, hey,
it is what it is. Look, I think that in recent times, the song that always gets me and really kind of, to me, the two singers now that we see pretty much everywhere, it's Arijit Singh for the men, and then Neha Kakkar seems to be every song for the women. So if you just like YouTube or Google those two, you'll come across pretty much every song with any kind of, you know, importance in the last 5 or 6 years. My favorite song from Arijit in the last few years is Channa Mereya from Adil Hai Mushkil, which is a great example of a movie that is trash, but the songs are awesome.
Exactly. Like,
every song in that movie is amazing, and every minute of that movie makes me want to, like, die. Like, it's terrible.
Oh, man. Yeah,
pun intended, based on the subject matter of that movie. Anyways.
Oh, Lord, you full circle of a man, you. My God. Yeah,
I tried full circle.
Yeah, but again, it goes to show you that as long as the songs are good in the movie, that's how the movie is going to stay relevant. I mean, at the end of the day, like, people are going, they're like, okay, we just want to see this heroine, we want to see this actor, we want to see be cackling for this reason, we want to see this type of dancer, we want to see these songs. Oh, the plot didn't make any sense, and there was 18,000 plot holes. What hour? You know, like,
what
it's
hour.
Okay, man.
Yeah. We don't need like, Race, about that. With its crazy plot,
Race is awesome.
Still has a song that we all love.
Yeah.
Yep. Deirah Honey Lagahu, right?
Yep. Yeah. It doesn't matter, man. At the end of the day, that's the song. It's all about the songs at the end of the day.
I agree. So before we wrap everything up, you wanna throw me, like, a favorite song that you have? Like, is there one that really you always go to?
Before I even get to that, I mean, there's another element that I wanted to bring up, but there's also, I realized that there's some songs, too. There's two that come to mind that were straight copies from other, like, mm-hmm. cultures. So we had, and again, it's just a trend that, again, like, everything's inspired. We're all, you know, it's all art, and you're going to take, you know, inspirations here and there, but, you know, Bollywood had done this too. And I think that the two that come to really, really mind for me are, it's a gila, 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 dil, gila, gila, mila, 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 koi, mila, mila. Do you recall, do you know what song that, who do they copy? I'm asking you.
I'm trying to think.
There you go. R. Kelly.
Yeah,
Kells, yep.
That's right.
Ooh, can't really mention it. But yeah.
I was just like, I've never even thought about this, but I literally was just humming it. I was like, oh, I know this song. Yeah. True. Okay.
Yeah, there's that.
And point.
And then there was another, there's the famous Arab song, right? Habibi Anur Lain Zadi Khayali, right? Habibi.
That's only famous to you. No one else knows this
Habibi.
Song.
Habibi. Oh, whatever. Whatever. But the oh, damn you. But listen, the Bollywood equivalent of that was hilarious. Mohabbat, Mohabbat, Mohabbat. And I don't remember what song or movie that was from, but I remember my family watching that. We died of laughter and we're like, damn, we did it again. But
we did it again. Yeah. Bollywood is known to copy, right? Like,
right,
everything.
Right.
I'm sure there's other examples that we didn't even think of, but for sure those two sound like, I don't even know about the Arab one. That's all you, buddy.
That's all me.
But definitely definitely the Gili Gili, for sure.
yeah, definitely. And I mean, if there's other ones out there, please, for listeners, whoever you humans are, please share with us, comment, DM us, let us know.
We've left a lot out of this episode, music and Bollywood music especially.
There's just so much to cover.
There's so much. But feel free to leave us a comment. Let us know what we've missed. Mazi, before we sign off, you want to give us a favorite?
Yeah. Damn, man. You're putting me on the spot, man. This is...
I'll give you mine. I'm such a sucker for sad, slow songs.
Okay.
And the song that, I don't know, for whatever reason, I can always go back to and just, like, I love it, is actually from I Hate Love Stories, and it's the reprise of Bintere. It's like a very slow song. It's very like whatever, but I don't know why it just always gets me, and I'm just like, wow, this is such a great song.
Wow. Okay. That's solid.
Random. I know.
For me, I don't know what, man, there's really too many. I mean,
you gotta have one. You ain't gotta have one. There's too many good
ones. There's too many, but I like one that keeps coming to my mind is from Porosan. And Porosan gave us Mere Samne Wali Kirkime, but I think this song is special because it's just, that movie is very beloved in our house, but my mom and dad both really, really love the song, but it was called Kehna Hai.
Oh, Kehna Hai is so great.
आज तुमसे ये पहली बार ओ तुम yeah कहना है
you can sing me to sleep with that great
yeah perfect. Man excellent. That's I love that I gotta go with that I'll go with that
bye.
Yeah
that's a fantastic choice
1968
what's y'all's favorite song please let us know in the comments on Instagram send us if you know us personally send us a text send us DMs. However you can, just let us know your favorite songs. I think that's a great way to connect with people and really see how Bollywood music has all kind of shaped all of our lives. So,
I thought you were vouching for texting in general. It is a great way to connect to people, man.
Texting has really changed my life.
You sent a paper airplane before, and hopefully they catch it in the letter. But no, okay. No, you're right. I mean, music is a universal. Sorry. Sorry, man. Didn't mean to take a dump on you. But
I appreciate you keeping me grounded.
Oh, you know.
All right. We've talked enough. Thanks for listening, as always. Like, subscribe, comment. I hope you enjoyed.
Hope you all enjoyed. Everybody's falling in love.
Falling in love. All right, guys. We'll talk to you soon. See you on the next episode. And this is Daisy Standard Time signing out.
Daisy Standard Take Time, Mazali. Bye-bye.